Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. One of the things that we learn as we get older in life is that nothing in this human life is permanent. And the way we look changes, how we feel changes. Physical life itself comes to an end at some point for everyone. And the feeling that things are slipping away can really cause a lot of emotional turmoil for many people. We all long for something that's permanent and something that doesn't fade away. Now, God has a lot to teach us about this temporary life and the eternal and permanent life that He wants to give us. One of the ways God has to teach us about the difference between this physical life and the spirit-born life to come is through observing the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles teaches us quite a bit about God's plan of salvation. And one of the things it teaches us is why this life is temporary today. Why is this life temporary? And what should we do with it? What should we do with this temporary life? The Feast of Tabernacles, besides being called the Feast of Ingathering, is sometimes called the Feast of Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, Booths. Let's see this in Leviticus 23 and in verse 41. And again, if you have a Bible with you, it's great to look at these scriptures together and see what God's Word says on this topic. Leviticus 23 and verse 41, "And you shall keep it a feast unto the eternal 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations, and you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths." Now, why does God have His people do this? It seems like sort of an unusual practice. Well, notice verse 43. It says, "That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Eternal, your God." So we understand the history of ancient Israel. They wandered in the wilderness, and they didn't have permanent dwellings during that time because they kept moving around. A booth, or a tabernacle, is a temporary dwelling. God commanded the ancient Israelites to live in temporary shelters made of tree branches while observing the Feast of Tabernacles. For God's people who attend the feast today in many different climates, tents, campers, motel, or hotel rooms are appointed as temporary dwellings. So it's a little bit different today in the sense that there are different forms of temporary dwellings. But still, the Feast of Tabernacles is kept by people going to temporary dwellings, places that they don't normally live in. And again, the point here is that during the 40 years in the wilderness, the Israelites had no permanent dwellings. They were merely heirs to the land God had promised to give them. They were not yet inheritors. Now, that is a key point here. Physical Israel was in the wilderness, which was, of course, a temporary situation. But their destination was what was to be a permanent place to live, the Promised Land. That's the land God was giving them. But in the case of ancient Israel, they had to wander in the wilderness until the rebellious generation among them was dead. Of course, you remember they sent spies to look at the Promised Land, and most of the reports were negative, with the exception of some that came back. And the people rebelled, and they cried, and they said, "We don't want to go to the Promised Land. We want to go back to Egypt." And so because of their rebellion, they had to wander in the wilderness until that generation was dead. They didn't trust God. And so there's a type here for us to consider. This isn't just history we're looking at. There's also a spiritual type for us. The rebellious generation in the wilderness is a type of all carnal, rebellious people. And the temporary dwellings typify the fact that humans, even in the millennium, will be mortal, and that human life and society throughout the millennium will be only temporary. The only thing that's permanent is eternal life. That's the only thing that's permanent. Physical life, the things of physical life, those are temporary. Our main focus and goal has to be on the future, on that permanent eternal life in the kingdom of God. The things in this life are passing away, and the older we get, the more we see that. We can't hold on to them, no matter how much we want to. There are things that we really enjoy in this life, times that we really enjoy, but they pass. They pass. Our main focus and goal has to be that future, that permanent life. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had similar experiences of living in temporary situations. They learned, too, about this life being temporary. Let's look at Hebrews 11 and verse 9. Hebrews 11 is a faith chapter. It recounts some of the amazing deeds and acts of faith by God's loyal people over the years. Hebrews 11 and verse 9 says, "By faith he," that's talking about Abraham, "sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." True Christians are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You can see that in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Because we are just passing through this life, we don't want to get caught up in the lusts of the flesh that cause so much harm in this life, and of course also hinder our ability to prepare for the kingdom of God. In fact, Galatians 5 lists the lusts that will prevent people from inheriting the kingdom of God if those things aren't repented of. You know, what we do in this temporary life, it matters. It matters greatly. Every human is simply passing through this physical life. And staying in temporary dwellings during the Feast of Tabernacles reminds us of our temporal state in this life. Nothing lasts. But that realization isn't depressing. You know, it would be easy to be depressed by that. And we see people in society very often depressed by the passage of time. I think in particular, if you look at people that are famous or celebrities, they try to look young, stay young, because they don't want their glory years to pass as they would see it. But God has a different perspective on it. He made us temporary for a reason. But he wants us to think about eternity, an eternal future, not physical forever, but spirit. There's more to life than just this temporary physical existence. We do have a great destination that we are heading towards, which is the kingdom of God. Abraham saw that. Isaac and Jacob saw that. They lived their physical lives. They died, but they saw the future. And they were thrilled by that, and they embraced it. And they lived their physical lives striving to prepare for that. Wonderful future in the kingdom of God. And of course, we see, as just mentioned there, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were persuaded of the future God was offering them. They embraced those promises. Their focus was on the future. In verse 9, the word sojourn means a temporary stay. Their dwelling in tabernacles, or those booths, pictured that they were yet only heirs, not yet inheritors, of eternal life in God's kingdom, an eternal possession of the land. You see the parallel there? Ancient Israel, they were in the wilderness. They had not yet inherited the promised land. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were wandering. They had not yet inherited those promises. And ultimately, the promised land and the promises that we're looking towards are the kingdom of God. That's what we're looking toward. That's the spiritual parallel for us today. This physical life is a time to prepare for eternal life in the kingdom of God. That's what this physical life is for. If our minds are just set on our physical existence and the things of this physical existence, that becomes pretty depressing because, again, it all passes away. It fades away. But if our focus is on the future and on preparing for that future, life takes on a new excitement. Life takes on a new excitement. How do we prepare in this life for the next life in God's family? We'll continue to look at this subject after this short break. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumper Radio 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Yet few preach about the kingdom of God today, for they have lost all knowledge of what it is. A prominent evangelist once said that the gospel of the kingdom of God is not for us today. Some denominations proclaim a gospel of grace, some what they call a gospel of salvation, most a gospel about Christ, some a social gospel. Some churches claim either that their particular denomination or Christianity as a whole constitutes the kingdom of God. But what does the Bible say? The truth about the kingdom of God is indeed a great mystery to this world. It's also the most glorious good news to those whose minds have been opened to the truth of the Bible. To remove the mystery from your Bible and to understand the truth about the soon coming kingdom of God, request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, Mystery of the Ages. We offer it freely to those who are genuinely interested in understanding the Bible. You don't have to live in the fog of the unknown. You don't have to wonder why you were born or where this world is headed. The great mysteries of life can be made known to you if you choose to know. The choice is yours. Request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, Mystery of the Ages. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word here on Trumper Radio 101.3 KPCG. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. We're looking at the reason that God created humans temporary. Why is this physical life temporary, and what are we to do with it? Well, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God's spirit-begotten children are in the wilderness of this world, but are not of it. We're strangers and pilgrims. We do live in this world, of course, physically, but we're not to be part of the ways of this world. Notice a few passages on this. Let's look at John 17 and verses 11 and 14. It says, and this is Christ praying to his Father. He says, and now I am no more in the world, but these, speaking of God's people, are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, a true Christian is not of this world. They don't live like the society around them lives, because that's the example Christ set. He said, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, God's people, true Christians, are often hated by the world. And Satan stirs up that hatred. He doesn't like God's word, obviously. God very specifically tells his people how to act in this world. Very specifically. Notice Revelation 18 and verse 4. It says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. If we live like the societies of this world and we partake of the sins that are in those societies, well, then we're going to receive the plagues. God is not a respecter of persons, but of righteousness. So even though we live in this world physically for a temporary time, we're not to be part of the societies of this world and the sins of this world. We are to come out of this world and the sins that permeate the societies around us. This life and the lusts of this life are temporary. That's an important thing to remember. There are temptations that do come up in this life, but the thing to remember is all of it is temporary. The pleasures of this life, all of it. That's not to say that we shouldn't enjoy life. We should. The Feast of Tabernacles, after all, is a time to rejoice. It's a feast. But the focus isn't on the physical. It has to be on the spiritual and on our spiritual future ahead. That's where the real joy is. Because even after 7 days, the Feast of Tabernacles ends. It's temporary. But God's kingdom is forever. And that's where our focus has to be. Look at 1 John 2 and verse 17. And just highlights this point. It says, "And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." You know, we all want to abide forever. We want to be permanent. We don't want to be temporary. We want to be forever. And 1 John 2:17 shows us how. It says, look, do the will of God. He who does the will of God abides forever. That's a promise. It's a very specific promise and statement that we can bank on, as they say. As mortal beings made of the dust of the ground, humans are destined to die. And only by receiving God's Spirit can a person hope to live forever. We need the Spirit of God. And then God's Spirit-begotten Christians have great lasting hope. There is great hope. And the hope is the eternal life that abides in us. God's Holy Spirit dwelling in somebody is eternal life. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to live forever physically. They still die, as God's word shows. It's appointed for every man to die once. But then, the resurrection. And if a person dies with God's Spirit flowing in their lives and they have fruits of the Spirit, they're going to be resurrected as a God being. That's plainly revealed in your Bible. You can look at The Incredible Human Potential, which is a free book at thetrumpet.com, also Mystery of the Ages, that will explain those subjects very in-depthly to you. And they're free, and they're at thetrumpet.com. But we do have that lasting hope. God's Spirit is that Spirit of eternal life. Notice 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13. It says, "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life." So we need Christ to be living in us through the power of God's Spirit. Verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." See, people can be confused by these scriptures and say, oh, so, you know, we're already immortal. You know, a lot of people think that they have some sort of immortal soul, as they would call it. That's not what these scriptures are saying. We're very temporary. We do die physically. But if we have the Spirit of God in us, and Christ is living in us through the power of God's Spirit, then that is eternal life, and we will be resurrected to glory, into the kingdom of God, as very God beings. Now, it's not once saved, always saved, as some people think. A person can commit to God at once they're called and then fall away. It's happened historically. The Laodicean era is the era we're in now, and that's marked by most of God's people turning away. There is a chance of losing God's Spirit, quenching it, as the Bible says, and the Bible warns against that. So we do have to make sure we're having God's Spirit flowing in us. And how do we really do that? How does Christ live in us through the power of God's Holy Spirit? I mean, is it enough to just say, I believe in Christ? Well, look at 1 John 2 and verse 4. It says, "He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, a liar won't inherit the kingdom of God, of course. So what do we have to do? We have to keep his commandments, keep God's commandments. That is what Christ did when he lived his physical temporary life on this earth. He perfectly kept the law of God. And that's the perfect example that we're striving to follow. By staying in temporary dwellings each year during the Feast of Tabernacles, God's people are reminded of this important knowledge. They understand that this physical life is only temporary and that they are merely pilgrims in this present life, waiting to inherit the kingdom of God. That's something we have to be reminded of every year. We have to have our focus set on what's really important. So again, if we just consider ancient Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, 40 is the number of trial and test. You can see in any Bible concordance how often God's people were tested for 40 days or 40 years. Israel in the wilderness was a type of all people who will go through trials and tests in overcoming their human nature, even during the millennium. Every human being at some point has to overcome their human nature. And we do have to conquer Satan, our own carnal nature, and the evil societies around us during this life today, for those that God is calling and working with today. So it's a really good question. Why did God make physical life temporary? What would be the purpose for that? Of course, it's a training ground, but why make it temporary? Well, there are going to be a few, unfortunately, and hopefully very few, that just choose to disobey God even after their minds are open to his truth. They'll turn away. They just won't obey him. And for those few who won't repent, they can be put out of their misery. They won't have to go on living forever in sin and in rebellion and all the evil fruits that come from that. Because consider Satan. Satan is a spirit being. He cannot die. He can't die. But notice what his fate will be. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3 and 7 and 9. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years. Of course, this is the millennium time period where Satan will be held back until the very end of the millennium. Verse 3 says, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season," right at the end of the millennium. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." And notice what he does. Right away, he goes back to his evil ways, his deception. Verse 8 says, "And shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." And verse 9 says, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about that beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and he devoured them." God puts an end to that rebellion pretty quick. And verse 10 says, notice this, "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were," it should say, "and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." What a terrible fate. What a terrible fate. Satan can't die, but he's going to be locked away forever. He's tormented in his own mind because of his sins. And he can't ever get out of it. He can't ever stop sinning. What a terrible, terrible fate that would be. Sometimes it seems like the worst fate anybody could have would be death. And of course, God wants us to live forever. He wants to give us eternal life in his kingdom. So death is certainly an enemy, there's no doubt. But death at the same time puts an end to misery for people that just will not repent. Satan cannot die. He can't ever get out of the misery that he's in, that he's causing himself. And so after seeing Lucifer's rebellion and a third of the angels rebel, and you can read more about that in Mystery of the Ages, God knew that mankind, given this opportunity to grow in this life, to develop his character so we could be born into his family, had to be made temporary, because we can't have all kinds of Satan the devils, beings with power and eternal life that rebel and sin and are miserable. What a terrible, terrible fate that would be. It's like being in prison forever. Like being in prison forever where you can't ever get out of it. Thankfully, most people will obey God. They will repent. They will change. But again, there will be a few that will not. And death, the temporary physical life ending, allows that misery to end as well. But for the majority, when physical life ends, then the resurrection to the kingdom of God. And that's the majority of people. And that's the joy and the hope. So in this life, we're working towards eternal life, true life in the kingdom of God. Notice Isaiah 9 and verse 7. It says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David." This is permanent. This is eternal. And it's peace. It says, "And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this." We all long for something that's permanent. The kingdom of God is permanent. It grows and it expands and it gets better forever and ever. Yes, this life is temporary and the things of this life, and we're reminded of that at the Feast of Tabernacles. But we're also reminded of the wonderful, wonderful kingdom of God that's about to come. We need to use this life, this temporary life, to work towards our positions in the glorious and eternal kingdom of God. It's a wonderful future that's very close to coming to pass. That's all the time we have for today on Live By Every Word. If you missed any episodes and you'd like to go back and catch up on them, you can listen to them at kpcg.fm or at thetrumpet.com or at iTunes, along with the other programming here on KPCG. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.